Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1170. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Chris, as we talked about before the show, just a smorgasbord of wrestling this past weekend. We are going to focus on the WWE portions of this past weekend, or at least the direct umbrella of WWE. So that leaves NXT out of the fold. It leaves maybe we'll get some thoughts in Forbidden Door at the end of the show here, just in a general sense. But we'll save that other fun stuff for Jeremy and I. So big news come out of Night of Champions. One that I saw that I had spoiled for me because I jumped online like a moron. I don't even blame the companies anymore. Like it is what it is. Like, I know to avoid these types of things if I'm trying to stay away from results. But Sami Zayn defeats Cody Rhodes directly by pinfall in this one in
He
a
does.
rare, like, I can't remember the last time a champion has been pinned in a three-way. That seems fairly uncommon these days because you need to have the champion upset that they didn't take the pinfall.
No, that is very common in these matches. That is definitely for sure. It's by the end of SmackDown, this did seem like less of a surprise, I think. They hammered home so much how they basically said Sami Zayn should leave if he doesn't win this if he doesn't win this time.
See, and that's something that I still did not watch SmackDown as the pay-per-view weeks often dictate on my end. And I was wondering if I missed anything that may have made this less of a surprise.
Yeah, they hammered home Sammy's previous failures so hard here.
Okay.
And Sammy is playing this character that gets booed, but he's done some underhanded things, but then he acts like he feels bad about them, and he has an excuse about how someone else did it for him first and everything. Again, I've not been a fan of Sami Zayn for quite some time. Still not really. This feels like a move to make their partners in Saudi Arabia happy. It really does feel that way, and it is, there was a time when I could be very, very, not even that long ago, when I could be very, very happy to see Sami Zayn become a champion, even if we know that Sami's not the that the not their cup of tea to have a long reign or anything at any point.
I would not, when we talked about it way back, what would it have been, Elimination Chamber 4 years ago or something like that?
That's going on that.
When he was really getting that push and just had come out of the bloodline, if they had done it at that point, you wouldn't have been surprised. And like you said, like I don't think I would have expected a long title reign even with how hot he got, because he's probably not really their type. They don't seem to mind handing out lifetime achievement awards from time to time, let's
No,
say.
no, no, they don't. And that's a lot of what this is for sure. And there was a part of me that thought this wasn't, Sammy as champion wasn't even making it to SummerSlam. It was going to be a conduit to get the title on Brock Lesnar. So he would defend the title against, well, let's just get to this part. King of the Ring winner Obafemi, who did defeat Jey Uso in a match that I feel went too long, and Obas did sell too much. I will sell that. I will say that.
8 minute match. Eight minute match.
Too much of it was Oba. Yeah, but too much of it was still was Oba eating super kicks.
Fair.
But yeah, so Oba wins King of the Ring. Sami Zayn wins the championship, quote unquote unexpectedly. But I think your wrestling fan mind does go to the idea that, okay, we want to keep Obafemi away from Roman Reigns for as long as possible. WrestleMania,
Oh.
being the logical thought of that, about that. But
Right.
he could take the other title that Roman Reigns doesn't have, and to get that thing on Brock would make sense. But then we fast forward to Monday Night Raw, and we open up with a Brock Lesnar Obafemi Brock Lesnar segment that ends with Brock Lesnar kicking Obafemi in the balls, F5ing him, and then Obafemi challenging him to match at SummerSlam. But hey, wait a minute. Obafemi is supposed to be challenging for a championship at SummerSlam. What's going to happen now with that? Brock, of course, one-ups Oba. It makes the match Hell in a Cell. We have our real main event for one of the nights of SummerSlam, maybe presumably the first one.
That was what stuck out to me. I'm like, this has got to be the main event of night one, right?
It's gonna be the main event of night one. We'll get into the main event of night two later. We can maybe we can maybe close with that. And just Oba has just decided to delay his title match because apparently the rules of King of the Ring say you can do that.
It was a little bit interesting. They played a little fast and loose with the rules here, at least as it applies to Obafemi. And it definitely was an interesting choice.
It was an interesting choice. Again, and I think that is what people are having an issue with. Not our good friend Jeremy Mays, but others. The issue of why was Oba even in the tournament to begin with? If this was this, because this appears to be the long range plan. That Oba and Brock was going to be at SummerSlam, and they were going to go to the Cell with it, without a title at stake.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't need a title at stake to make this an interesting match.
No, you don't. You do not.
So I guess to get that part out of the way up front. I understand that point of view that maybe people expected it. Or yeah, like I don't, yeah, it's always whatever. It's professional wrestling, so I always leave
It
it some
is.
leeway. And I do wish the main part of me wishes that something more had happened between Brock and Oba to get this to Hell in a Cell level. They are just in a one versus one feud. Like no one's really, until Brock Lesnar kicked him in the ball, Obafemi in the balls on Monday, no one had really done anything underhanded. I do believe Brock, what, attacked him before the match?
He did attack him before the match, yes, and put him through a table. And during the course of the match, put him through a table. But that's it. I can see your point, but of course, just the idea of Brock and Oba in the cell is just supersedes everything, and
Yes, it does.
Yeah, again, the weird Brock fake retirement aside, they've done this feud right. And it
No.
is a hotly anticipated match. I mean, there is no way in hell whatever they do with the WWE Championship that is supposed to be the holy grail of WWE, more than the belt Roman Reigns is holding. There's no way in hell that match does anything but open a night. Maybe probably open night one. And no, now again,
No.
I haven't seen any SmackDown spoilers. I've actually done a good job avoiding spoilers for things that are taped ahead of time recently in my life. So I proud of myself for that. So I don't know exactly what's coming down the pike for that. But
Oh, yeah.
because of what they've done with Oba, and obviously because of the, and we'll get into it later, Roman Reigns' opponent is also set. It does seem like Sami Zayn is at least going to make it to SummerSlam. Against who? I don't know. Just Cody? Or are we getting some kind of a multiple person thing?
If we get the retread of the triple threat match, which would be
Well, I don't think
really
we're getting
strange.
that because the next thing we can talk about is an extension of the
Oh.
main event, Gunther getting in the face of Nick Aldis and it getting really heated and physical to the point where, yeah, I it felt like that they were gonna get we were gonna get to a Nick Aldis match at some point. It felt like it was probably gonna be Drew McIntyre. And I'm wondering if it was supposed to be Drew McIntyre before Drew decided to go become an actor full time, apparently. With two movies in a row, somehow.
Yeah, Drew has really found himself gone for quite a bit of time here
Yeah,
in the recent past.
and good for him. Good. It's probably if he can make that work, it's probably the better move for him. Move for him or anybody. But we now have Gunther kind of taking the mantle as the wrestler has the biggest problem with Nick Aldis's decisions, putting his finger in his chest. Aldis does shove, so he is the first, I guess, the first degrader aggressor, even though Gunther was touching him first. And they have to be pulled apart. Well, not before Gunther gets his hands around Gunther's, excuse me, Gunther gets his hands around Aldis's throat. They're separated, and now the storyline is that they've both been sent home. All this is on a leave of absence, and Adam Pearce is going to be running both shows for the time being.
Yeah, exasperated Adam Pearce has made it through relatively unscathed in his
He's really going to need that drink now. So he's running both shows. But yes, he's made it. The only thing they ever got him was like a match with, quote unquote match with Paul Heyman that was like 10 seconds during the Thunderdome era. I think that was about
Oh.
it. I mean, he's taken a few bumps along the way. I'm not going to say he hasn't, but
Oh,
it
yeah.
does seem like Aldis is still in the better shape to go ahead and have a match.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit younger too.
I imagine he is. And he is obviously, again, he even the suit, he you can tell the guy is jacked underneath there. He has not missed a day at the
Yeah.
gym.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that he is not slacking off. In the gym
So,
department,
I mean,
even though he's been an on-air character for, man, that
it's
one's
been a
kind
couple
of
of years now, at
interesting to
least. Yeah,
me
it's been at least a couple of
now.
years. I think it's, I guess it's been 2 years. I don't think it's been three. Maybe it's been three.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on there for longer than I would expect. I'm thinking at this point, because yeah, I mean, I really did think he was coming into the WWE as a wrestler, and then when everyone's like, "Oh no, he's just going to be the GM," I'm like, "You joking, right?" 23, so yeah, it's been
No,
three
no. Wow,
years.
it's been 3 years. Wow, good for him. He's, and he's been effective in this role, and maybe it's time for him to do this, but the funny thing is, anyone who's ever seen Nick Aldis Russell, I don't think anyone I've never been wowed. I mean his highest profile match was the first All In against Cody, and that was he was just kind of there. We were he was there he was there just like we were. You know, Cody could have been in that match with anybody with the NWA title at stake, basically. He did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all this has always just been kind of there for me. I kind of like his presence. He obviously is a good-looking gentleman.
Yes, looks gonna suit. He carries himself well, speaks well. He's been good in this role. I mean, a SummerSlam
But
match
yeah.
with Gunther, that's an interesting proposition. Because obviously it's by far the biggest match he's ever had in his life. I mean, as I said, the other biggest match in his life would have been that All In match. Unless you want to count a TNA Slam of Bound for Glory or something.
Yeah, Aldis is 9 years younger than Adam Pearce.
Oh wow. Well,
So.
Adam Pearce was around for a pretty long time, actually. Like he was kicking around for a
Yes.
while too. Yeah, and again,
Yeah. He had a lot of indie time.
again, you know, and all this was, TNA guy, I think Jeff Jarrett was gonna build global force around him too. Then he became,
Oh,
Billy
yes.
Corgan's NWA champion. You know,
Yeah.
he has been that BC promotion. He was like the preeminent guy that the promotions like that put their belt on, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good run in that, like you said, kind of BC slot. But yeah, he was never really able to crack the big time, and it's kind of an interesting one. Like, I don't know what retiring him does. You know what I mean?
I mean,
Gunther can put something on his mantle, but does that mean SmackDown gets a new permanent GM at some point? Like, not that I really care, but.
I guess they could have all just go back to it. It's very akin to Gunther being quote unquote saddled with Pat McAfee, but Pat McAfee is obviously a world famous celebrity. Nick Aldis is not.
Yeah, he's your on-air authority figure.
And they've made
He's not that
him
high on the totem pole.
and they've made him a respectable figure in that regard, probably more than Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is always presented as losing control of his show while all this, for the most part, is portrayed as always as staying calm and cool, which does make the moments where he flies off the handle with a Gunther, with a McIntyre, stand out more.
For sure. They even if things are going as wrong on SmackDown as they are on Raw, Nick Aldis has always portrayed the sense of calm and that nothing is going wrong, even if it is. He is not reaching for a drink ever,
No.
Nick. So I suppose good on him. That he doesn't need that to run his his side of the promotion, but yeah, like you said, it makes these occasions more interesting, and it's another one of those ones where we've talked about it a lot. Like, if you don't want Gunther to lose, he's got to be in weird feuds from time to time, and you had kind of said that he was going to be away from the title picture, and I would say that this is obviously going to keep him away from the title picture, at least through SummerSlam, you know.
Speaking of people who maybe should be away from the title picture, what is going to happen with Cody Rhodes from here on? That's a good question. We are now in essentially a third. I don't want to say maybe failed is too strong, but it's just he has never risen. And of course, it's the greatest
Above
wrestling moment.
meh.
Yeah, no, he really has not. And Ben, it's just insane that him winning the title is essentially the greatest wrestling moment of the last 25 years. But everything since then has just been so meh. And he's and you know
Yeah.
he's so he does, he relies a lot on being an entrance. He relies a lot on, little kid fans. He relies a lot on on a lot of bells and whistles, like, obviously his entrance theme, fireworks, and
Yeah, he definitely has all the bells and whistles
he gets so many
laid
of the
out
bells
for
and
him.
whistles, but a lot of his promos aren't that interesting. His main events don't always hold in hold, his title matches don't always hold your interest, don't always really hold your interest. He's a very unique case study, and sometimes I don't know what exactly I'm supposed to think.
It's kind of wild that, like you said, like that was one of the biggest moments ever. But just the way the other storyline is going, without even getting into it too much, honestly, it's almost as if he never beat Roman Reigns at this point. You know, with the way the other, you know, the storyline with the Bloodline is gone at this point, with basically a reformation. It's just like Cody has never gotten above Roman Reigns. Like, even though Roman
Oh,
Reigns
no,
took off
absolutely not.
all of that time after that loss and came back a little sheepish and obviously took a while to get a championship back. I mean, he still took like a year and a half or something,
Two
maybe
year, it was
th
2 years.
2 years.
I mean, if you're counting it from when he came back, or because Roman always
Oh.
was frequently not work a lot between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, so it's not that.
Yeah, TKO seems to be like, hey pal, you need to hit the TV a little bit more here.
Well, yeah, he has more lately. He has more lately on this run for sure. But yeah, no, you're right. Roman Reigns has stayed the number one guy. I don't think anyone doubts that.
And you can call Cody QB1 all you want, but it's just like,
One of
I guess,
Cody's big things
like,
he can
I'm
hold his
like,
mantle on.
is Roman Reigns playing a different position here?
Yeah.
Is he a
Yeah.
defensive
Yeah.
lineman?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is he a pass rusher, outside
What
linebacker?
Cody could hold, hang his hat on was that he was on all the house shows. Well, now guess what? There aren't any more house shows. He isn't appearing that much more than Roman Reigns is.
No, I would say that they are pretty close in total appearances at this point. You know, again, like
Yeah.
Roman Reigns certainly has stepped it up here as of late.
Yeah, so yeah, again, so Sami Zayn's getting the title does it represents a curveball, and now Roman's match at SummerSlam is clear, been announced. We can pretty much guarantee Brock and Oba's going last on the other night. So they have some freedom to play around with this title match. So we don't
Oh,
really know
yeah.
where it's going to go. And I said that I've so far I've avoided SmackDown spoilers. I plan to avoid it, and I guess not, because I'll probably if I do anything on Friday because I have the day off, I'll probably day drink and be home and be home by 7 Central. So I probably will end up watching SmackDown a lot at the time
Yeah.
it's supposed to be on.
Why are the city of Columbus does their fireworks on the 3rd? So that the local municipalities can do their smaller fireworks on the actual 4th of July for
That's interesting.
reasons the jurisdiction
I
that we
don't.
live in
Oh
also
boy.
does their fireworks on the 3rd.
I don't.
So,
Even Even when I was in Detroit and they did a really big one, I've never gone to any of the major public fireworks type stuff. And even if my own household isn't participating in a in a fireworks display, I'll just still just sit outside in a lawn chair with a beer and watch what other people set off. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I will not be watching I still doubt that I'll be watching SmackDown on
Yeah, you
time. We have
never
been
do
using
anything.
that time to watch movies.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's fine too. I'll probably watch quite a few number of movies or whatnot just through my long weekend.
And I obviously, I have not, I've been pretty spoiler free most of my tenure here on
But
Stunt Granny. So,
what we're
I'm not
but
sure what happens on SmackDown either, and what if anything they set up
yeah.
for Sami
Yeah.
Zayn.
Yes. I mean, yeah. They could go with Cody one on one. Jey Uso says he's going to SmackDown to confront Sami Zayn. We
No.
do have these people who've been gone a long time, such as like Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, who maybe they come back into play, maybe they don't. Maybe it's just Sami and Cody one on one, since we can kind of pencil in Gunther as being occupied.
Yep.
Yeah, it's open. It again, it's it 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 does it changes things. Again, maybe it wouldn't maybe necess not necessarily the decision I would have made, but they've made it. The one thing that just to me is just like, okay, is the WWE champion gonna still keep doing backstage comedy with Johnny Gargano? It feels beneath the championship to give this because this Gargano stuff at this point is just an attempt at humor that isn't funny to me. It's the anti-Dan Housen.
I'm not
Actually, the
as
only time it was funny was
entertained by it as Danhausen. I also am on board with you that it's not befitting a champion. Like, champions can have funny skits, but that's not the type of funny that you want to be aiming for if they're going to participate in such a thing.
And I am glad we brought up Danhausen because it can transition right into talking about, of all things, the Queen of the Ring tournament final. You wouldn't think these things are these things go together, but they do. Because before the Queen of the Ring final, Danhausen was go came out to say hello to the crowd. He's never been to Saudi Arabia before. He was interrupted by Liv Morgan, who threatened him about the $100,000 he owes the Judgment Day. He responded by cursing her, which a lot of people seem to have a really big problem with this segment, and I don't understand why. There was
I
some
would.
backlash to this. They feel like Danhausen's just being used as a tool to spoil matches or something. I really don't understand why people thought that this is the this is the worst way that they've used Danhausen and not some of the cartoonish shit. I mean, which I love that too. I love that. I love it, but it's just like this is
That is
the
a
line you
take.
draw.
Yeah, that is a take that I am never gonna have. I guess it's one that you can run with, but I do not understand in the least.
No, I do not. Liv Morgan proceeds to slap Danhausen, come down for a match. She does her Io Sky have a match. She, as you would expect, even without a curse, she does not defeat Io Sky. And Io Sky, as we did talk about this last week in terms of who she would choose to face, and it didn't seem weird that she would choose to face the same person she just beat. Although there's actually a strong internal logic to her challenging
Oh,
someone she knows she can beat, and she also knows
yes.
is cursed. So Io Sky
Yes.
does challenge Liv Morgan. Rhea Ripley appears to be in this injury situation where she's maybe not going to make it back in time for SummerSlam. But they don't want to take, but they don't want to take, but they don't want to take a title off of her. And I understand why, because we've literally just had two tournaments running in parallel with each other, and you really don't want to do another one.
There's never a good way to do these open, when someone loses a belt because of injury.
When they've been in,
Because
when the titles, putting the titles in abeyance, I believe is the word Vince McMahon fell in love with years and years ago.
oh geez.
Remember abeyance?
Thankfully I don't actually, but good Lord. But yeah, like I mean, because they have like there sometimes there's the battle royal kind of thing to determine number one contenders. Like there's the at this point overused tournament. They always do some type of weird thing with each one, kind of like King of the Ring. I don't know why King of the Ring all of, and I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but definitely for the last 5 years or so, they've definitely done the triple threat matches leading into the
The
semifinals for
four
whatever.
ways, the four ways leading into
All
the
the four
semifinals.
ways leading to
So there's
the
still 16 people,
semis.
but only four first round matches instead of eight.
They try to throw as many varieties at you as possible, and it's still wild that even with all the varieties, you're just sitting there going, it's just another tournament, guys. Like I don't care how you change this
No.
up, really. That's why I don't mind the it still always feels fresh to me. What did AEW copy? They copied the G1 from
Yes, the, yes. They
New
and yes, they still do
Japan.
that
I
every
forget
year,
what they
yeah.
call that.
The
But I
Continental
did.
Classic.
Oh yeah. And I like that style better personally. But also, you can't be doing that style of tournament all the time either. It'd just
No.
be another, that's the only style, I guess, that the WWE does not employ, and I don't think they ever
No.
will, honestly.
I don't think they ever will. No, it's a lot. It's you're put in a position to have many of your top people have to lose. And
No.
well, the way New Japan does it especially is ripe with situations where people can get injured.
Oh,
It,
right.
because they're wrestling within, several days of each other, not once a week. But
Yeah,
yeah,
there was a
but yeah,
reason they mentioned
but
it being
really
too
the but really
grueling.
the issue with trying to do a round robin thing is keeping mathematical score and the amount of people who have to lose repeatedly.
I think all of those are good reasons why the WWE does not employ that. And yeah, it would seem that Rhea's injury is still deemed sufficiently not bad enough for them
So
not to take the
needs,
title off of her
I think I know. It doesn't sound like
to get back
she
on
needs
track a
surgery.
little
Doesn't
bit.
sound like she needs. Doesn't sound like she needs surgery. Yeah, but I got, she doesn't really have a place at SummerSlam though either. Because again, as we go on, we're going to talk about some other things that are likely happening at SummerSlam. But first, the next match at Night of Champions: Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker inside of a steel cage.
Yeah, this
This
was
is
the second biggest surprise of the night to me, I would say.
yeah it is not really because they positioned this as a blow off in the feud, and as we would see as the next day would go on, it feels like they're giving up on the vision, this cursed faction that has just had nothing but problems.
It's kind of funny to people that were saying, oh no, the vision isn't really cursed, and I'm like, oh guys, like hey, that was really wild to me that Yeah, that Paul Heyman at least 100% gave up on Austin Theory.
He absolutely did. We fast forward to Raw. Yes, they did have
Yeah,
Austin
to
Theory confront Paul Heyman saying, "I didn't know you're supposed to be here." And Paul Heyman's like, "I don't have to tell you where I don't remember what exactly he said."
Yeah, and I don't either, and I don't have that part of the
Yeah, no,
report pulled
right.
up.
But the bottom line is he blew him off, walked away, and I think it's been pretty well reported that Heyman was the one who was pushing Austin Theory to be put in the Vision in the first place. So now we have both in terms of both within the confines of the context of the show and seemingly in real life, the last person with any stroke in WWE who believed in Austin Theory at all has now given up on him. And even later in the in Raw, it kind of felt like they were also setting up for a blow, kind of the blow off the whole Austin Theory Maxxine Dupri thing. By having her
Yes.
just choose not to go heel.
It definitely, they made it seem at a minimum like she was leaning towards reconciling with Chad Gable and not with Austin Theory.
And because we're now kind of bouncing over a bit. Austin Theory did interrupt a Street Profits Joe Hendry celebration, complete with insulting song, also burying the Vision, and in particular Austin Theory.
Yeah, that one was just like, woof, man,
Dude,
do not.
I would not be picking up the phone in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, for Joe Hendry to get the okay to bring up the John Cena stuff, it's one of those ones where that's just insult to injury after what had already happened on the show. Well, because I think only the Paul Heyman part had happened. I think the Maxine stuff happened later than the
That happened after Maxine lost to Raquel, and then that's a match we don't really need to labor point on. It was just a, and Raquel's getting yet another Intercontinental title match. Yes, Raquel, they act like it's been so long since the last time Raquel's gotten a singles opportunity. It's like she gets singles opportunity, title opportunities all the time, and she just blows them. What are we doing here? But that's
Yeah,
that,
they
and.
did a pretty terrible job of listing her history of failed attempts.
But yes, it's the. But they did say, Austin Theory did just come out and say that he's getting a tag team title match. And even the Street Profits were like, is Breakker really going to show up for this? And that's got my gears are turning like, they're going to have Bron Breakker no show this match and just leave Theory for dead, aren't they?
Yeah, if,
Or the
cause
other way you
didn't
can do
he
it.
say that the dog is going to be there or something like that? Like, Austin Theory seemed confident, and I would be pretty shocked if he doesn't get left high and dry.
Or the other way to play it is Bronson Reed returns. They take Austin Theory out of the match and they just go for the tag belts and take them back for themselves. That's the Either way, Theory is just buried 6 feet under. There's two ways to play this, I guess. Yeah, so I was, I'm, yeah.
I cannot think of someone that's been buried this many times, like twice on TV.
Yeah.
Like they're just like you said, like he shouldn't be looking at his phone. He may as well be calling the indies
Yeah.
at this point to set up those 90-day appointments afterwards,
Yeah,
because
there's nothing left here.
this
He
is
is the
the
greatest
final
failure of
fork.
the yeah, he is the greatest failure of the last 5 years. Because put Vince tried, Triple H tried, it's just like Heyman stepped in to try. There's nothing, there's no there there.
Yeah. I have not seen a guy dead in the water like this, and I don't know how long.
And again, and as a group that They were never greater than the sum of their parts. I mean, maybe Reed and Breaker had some chemistry with each other, but
Oh,
Logan
yeah.
Paul never really belonged in a group. He doesn't need a mouthpiece. Theory sucks. It just to say it. And
Well, and I think Logan Paul got hurt by it just because he started appearing too much.
yes, he
You
absolutely
know,
did.
like
He absolutely appeared too
even
much.
though Heyman's like, "Hey, you should do this full time." It's just like that's like it almost seemed like Paul was missing the point at that juncture,
I
you know,
think
where it's just like,
I actually
dude,
think
he's a
Logan
special
Paul,
attraction,
yeah, he
so let
absolutely
him
is, and
be
he should
that.
stay one. I actually think it's Logan Paul actually credits John Cena with telling him he should just be he should just show up every week. But I'm sure Heyman
Oh,
had some
okay.
part with it. I'm sure maybe Heyman had some part in it too. Heyman likes to, Heyman likes to pal around with the guaranteed winners. And he will cut bait on people who aren't who aren't fulfilling whatever promise or potential or that they have. He's done it before,
Yeah.
he is smart like that. He picks a winner probably more than he doesn't, but there have been some stinkers along the way too. And not a stinker,
Yeah.
but definitely not, maybe not necessarily in the best position right now as we get back to the match itself. This was positioned as the blow off. This was kind of the dangling thread. I know Jeremy Mays was quite upset that Breaker took this loss, but I saw it coming because I'm just like
Oh.
it they are positioned as in the feud, and now as we've seen it, the whole vision concept just kind of needs to be thrown out. He so Breaker's going to be in kind of a I don't know if he stays with Heyman or not, but Breaker's going to be in a probably in a transition period here to to whatever his next thing is going to be.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be able to recover.
Oh, of course
Just
he is.
the
He is.
crowd is still going to be into him. They're still going to bark. And yeah, it's not the worst thing that has
No,
happened
there's
to
no
him
shame in losing to
here.
Seth Rollins. No, there and yeah, and he all he's got to do is show up and just start spearing the people out of their boots, and then the people are going to be barking. Yeah, he's a pretty easy guy to get back into the swing. He's actually a pretty easy guy to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, have him go after I never remember which titles on which show. You know, IC, US, whichever one's
Yeah,
on Raw there.
him and Penta would be all right. I could.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 'cause he's IC, isn't he?
Penta's IC. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
So,
right. Our.
well, we've kind of skirted around it. You mentioned Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
I guess we need to talk about then the end of Raw.
We could. I mean, we could absolutely could. I was thinking about bookending the show by talking about that, but no, let's do it now. Yes. Roman Reigns comes to the ring for a promo on Raw. Doesn't even I don't think he doesn't even get acknowledgement out of his mouth before he is interrupted by one Seth freaking Rollins. And when Seth got that big got that you know that real that big win, that blow off win, I'm like, if it, yeah, it does it was kind of, it was feeling like. Because this was going to be a WrestleMania main event anyway, when Rollins was obviously still leading the division.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty obvious this is where they were going. It got delayed. They're both technically baby faces right now. But they've got this as they laid out, they've got this 14-year history. And no, I mean, they laid it out masterfully. They really did. They sold the shit out of this match for me. They sold the shit out of a match we've been watching for off and on for 12 years in 2026.
And it's still wild how few times this match has actually occurred.
I actually had to look it up. They've actually wrestled each other like 10 times
Oh, really?
on televised. That includes all the matches from Raw and SmackDown in the mid 2010s that we don't remember.
Okay.
And they've only had, I think, one singles pay-per-view main event. That was the Money in the Bank where Rollins won and then Dean Ambrose slash John Moxley cashed in immediately.
Oh.
Yeah, they've only had what they
Okay.
only have. There were other times they were, I think that there's probably 3 to 5 times they were slated that made up at a pay, another pay-per-view, but some kind of injury issue got in the way, or Reigns' illness or whatever, things got in the way.
Right. Yeah. So that is kind of wild. If that's their most recent confrontation, that was,
They've had others. I mean, because I looked at it,
well,
they've
not
wrestled the.
confrontation, but.
Well, there was the weird one at Royal Rumble 2022, where during Reigns' big run, Reigns lost
Oh.
that match by disqualification. The only match Reigns lost in any way since like
Yeah.
2019, between 2019 and 2024. Because I don't know what they were thinking exactly when they booked the disqualification in that match, or why they booked that match in the first place, so they didn't want Rollins to lose.
Yeah, forgot about that one. So, but still, that, I mean, that's 4 years ago.
That's still 4 years ago. And again, in this case, their history works for them. It again, because it's been so long since the last time they had 1-on-1.
Yes.
They never got and they never got a WrestleMania 1-on-1. They never even had a SummerSlam 1-on-1. They had a B show 1-on-1, really. They had matches on Raw and SmackDown during the days when during the times when they were just throwing shit out there. The peak of Vince is throwing shit out there that and just it just not mattering essentially. And I think there's like I think I ran through this. It's like Rollins has won like 5 other matches against each other. Reigns has won 4, and there was like a double disqualification in there or something.
Oh, so they're close to 500.
They are, yes. Yes, they are close to 500. This is SummerSlam. It's in a football stadium. This is going to be their highest profile match. Rollins, interestingly, mentioning their ages, which we've never really mentioned these two as aging before. It kind of feels
Yeah.
weird to me because these guys are from like. Okay, my memory can date back to about the late 80s. We're in about the peak-ish of Hulkamania. Then we rolled into the new generation, which then rolled into the Attitude Era, which rolled into the Ruthless Aggression Era, which rolled into whatever we call there's if there's an era in between that, and then the era when the Shield showed up. These guys are like six. Even for me, these guys are like sixth generation guys into my fandom. And now they are aging out. I have been watching this shit way too long.
I mean, that part of the promo was really wild when Seth's like, we're a lot closer to
Okay.
the end than we
Yeah.
are the
Yeah, it was.
beginning
And I guess. And I
of
guess
our
the era
careers.
between the Ruthless Aggression era and whatever we call this era is, I guess we
Oh,
needed to
right.
call it the Cena era or the PG era.
Oh,
Cena era is
yeah.
probably a better way to call it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it, he deserves it. He
I mean,
deserves it.
you could even say the Cena era was a bridge to the next. Again, I don't even know if the next era
A
has an
proper
age yet.
title.
I mean,
Yeah.
we're kind of in the Paul Levesque era, slash the Netflix era, slash the yes. I don't even know. It's the post Vince era really is what it is. I mean, it's because obviously that's
Yes.
the biggest change, of course.
Yeah, that is the easiest way to group this one together.
Yeah.
Right now, post Vince, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. But yeah. As you're saying, yeah. These guys now. Admitting that they're aging out, it's just added. It's
Yeah,
wild.
It is one of those things that it's just like, yeah, it's pretty crazy, that I know that there are archives on the Stunt Granny's website that predate the Shield.
Oh, by quite a while, yeah, I would say. Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Yeah, so
Yeah, that's fun.
it's another one of those ones where you're just like, oh boy, yeah, another era is going out the window here, or at least, even if it isn't
And
now,
meanwhile, we and
they're
we
like, what are there? There's like those handful of holdovers, like Randy
yes.
Orton and
Rey
Rey
Mysterio,
Mysterio,
Brock,
Bra, yeah.
the Miz is in that. You can even call people, maybe throw up Metallica in there or someone like that. Yeah, there's the
Yeah.
the Hangovers. Yeah, there's people still hanging on, and again, we're yeah,
But
but.
yeah, that's the next big era to kind of lose out on the longevity side of things,
I
would
mean,
be
you might
that
you might even
the
call that
Shield era.
we might call it the Shield era, because
Yeah, that storyline
because
has produced storylines for,
it
again, for
has
14
it really
years.
has. I mean, those three guys really did carry the company for quite a long time. You can't picture the last 15 years of WWE, most of the last 15 years of, without those three guys. And I know Moxley moved on quite a while ago now, but without them, I don't know what the 2010s looks like. Like they were that important, and they have been that important. Of course, Roman Reigns obviously hit his stride, post-COVID. But yeah, and again, they told their story masterfully. They sold the shit out of this match. Yeah, and again, it's a match we've seen before. If it's been a while or whatever, they sold how important it is that they, and again, because so many of their matches were these forgettable TV matches, you really almost could cherry pick the one the yeah like Rollins did. You cherry pick the moments that mattered between them. And you forgot about some random
Oh,
match on SmackDown in 2015.
and that's the way that
Yeah,
should be.
exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah, definitely go for the highlights. We don't need to talk about the mundane. Yeah, it definitely hit me in all the right places. It again is a match that, because it's been done seldom enough, it does make sense, especially in a performance way. Like, I mean, I feel like they're probably getting to that point where maybe Roman Reigns less so, just because he has not done as much to his body as Seth Rollins has over
Yeah.
the course of their careers. And Seth probably putting on more of that mileage before he got to the WWE than
Yeah.
when he's been in the WWE itself.
Yeah,
But
yeah, yeah.
still, this is going to be probably one of their kind of best matches, from they've gotten the psychology of it down, but they're still young enough to probably pull off everything that they want.
Yeah,
Even
they
if they,
do.
again,
Yeah.
even if it's maybe the end of their era, or starting the beginning of the end of their era. However you want to view it. I'm really looking forward to that
Yeah,
match.
I really am. They sold it. And speaking of something they're trying to sell, as we zip back to Night of Champions, they are really trying to sell us a feud between Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill. As Tiffany Stratton defeats Jade Cargill with help from Charlotte Flair to keep that feud going. And in the absence of Rhea Ripley and a women's championship match on the SmackDown side, this match is essentially taking the place as the big women's match on the SmackDown side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing they made Tiffy Time champion so that you could have someone with name value back up Rhea Ripley in this instance. But you could definitely tell that this type of finish was coming. The
Oh,
way that
absolutely.
they had written the stories and Jade and Charlotte's confrontation the last few weeks, it will always remind me of AJ Styles being petty enough to fly the whole way to Australia. Did he screw over LA Knight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte player hating on that type of level in this regard. Flying, it's a other half of the world, kind of a flight from Australia, but flying the whole way to Riyadh just to screw over Jade Cargill in the U.S. Championship match here. God bless Charlotte for doing so. And yeah, like, does it feel weird to put the intermediate championship on Jade at this point? Does she have to like be kind of one of those have the main championship or not have the championship
Well,
at
I
this point?
mean, that's a moot point because she lost to Tiffany here.
Well, right.
Yeah, but
I guess I'm
I
just
did.
overall valuing like, does she need the big win at some point rather than
I could
just
see her
being the
getting the win over
U.S. in it?
Charlotte. Yeah, I mean, I don't think she. This was a very storyline driven thing to do.
Oh,
Put
yeah.
another women's match on Night of Champions and continue the story with they continue the story with Charlotte and Jade, and they continue the story with Chelsea Green, who also flew all the way across the world so to help her new best friend.
Yeah, that one's still open to interpretation here.
Yeah, very very open to interpretation. And because Tiffany is a Minnesota girl, you do know that she's gonna get a feat. Unlike WrestleMania, she is gonna get a featured spot on SummerSlam.
Yeah, especially since we didn't really talk about it during the Judgment Day portion of things. But the names on the women's side are a little bit light at the current moment, because not only is Rhea Ripley not there, seems like a prime spot for Stephanie Vaquer possibly to show up on Monday and help out Io Sky during a beatdown, and she was nowhere to be found either.
No. She's, yeah, I don't, yeah, she seems to still be injured. Yeah, or dealing with whatever, and she's gonna be kept out. I know they're going to Chile in September, so they're gonna want her on that show.
Oh.
There's no word yet that that's gonna turn into a PLE, but I'm also still wondering, because around that same time, that's when they move the Money in the Bank from September to October. And threw in a Saturday night's main event, a Sunday night's main event. So part of
Oh.
me's thinking, is that Chile show going to be turned into a PLE? Not so much at the last minute, but maybe we'll get an announcement of that soon. Because I
Right.
did look at the schedule for that week, and they
Okay.
are doing like two house show wise. They are doing like two different sh two shows, two you know a Raw tour and a SmackDown a Raw tour and a SmackDown tour, until they get to
Okay.
Chile. There's only one show that Saturday night, and that's also
Ah.
bookended with the Mexico dates and
Okay.
AAA running in Las Vegas and then running in Mexico City, so
Oh, jeez.
they're obviously trying to make that some kind of a big fucking weekend. And so I wonder if they are going to throw a make the Chili show. And this is just pure speculation on my part. I've heard nothing, I've seen nothing, but it just gets my gears turning that maybe they'll do that, because then at that point. Because if they don't do anything on ESPN in October, it's 2 months between SummerSlam and Money, over 2 months between SummerSlam and Money in the Bank.
Oh yeah, that would be a weird spot.
Yeah, so yeah, all that has me curious. I have an inquiring mind about these things. So,
Inquiring
but
minds
yes,
want to know.
but to make the point, if they are going to do Stephanie McCair's rematch with Liv Morgan, there's no more perfect place than Santiago, Chile. If they're going to make that a PLE.
Yeah, there could be reasons why Miss Vicar is not on there that is unrelated to injuries.
But in the
They're just waiting their
meantime,
turn.
the Judgment Day has a big problem because they need to get Liv Morgan uncursed before her big title defense. And they are having all kinds of problems with Danhausen.
And I don't think they did themselves any favors
No, not
this
when they
week.
trashed his lab and stole his jersey.
Yeah, it was not very nice to steal his custom Danhausen Knicks jersey.
Yeah, no, but this has all been fun. In the same vein as The Miz, Dom is the perfect foil for Danhausen.
Even JD does a pretty good job in
Yeah.
being a villain slash stooge in all of this.
He does. He did a fantastic job, yes.
So yeah, kudos to everyone involved. But yeah, they did not get live uncursed as of Monday. So it's it could be a tough go.
It will be a tough go. Although they did get their money back in an exploding briefcase. I mean, when they did that bit, I thought for sure they were going to pull the money out and it was going to start, and Danhausen's face was going to be on the money. But no, it does appear that he actually did give them their money back, just in the form of an exploding briefcase. But when Danhausen got his jersey back, unfortunately, he was attacked from behind by Raquel, who stole the jersey back. So the Judgment Day is still in possession of the jersey. And because we are headed to New York City for a Saturday's main event, and we do know that it's expected that several members of the New York Knicks are going to be at that show, we're getting some hijinks. If not, if not that, if not, that's where the Danhausen Dominic Mysterio match will actually take place.
Yeah, there will be some type of culmination there involving those parties. I think that's
Yes. It's for
pretty
yeah,
safe
and that
bet.
will be absolutely fantastic.
Oh man. I'm trying to think if there is anything else on Raw worth talking about, because it was kind of wild that Ford and Dawkins got a celebration, but they were not the focal point of that segment.
No, they weren't. Yeah, and there are no action. No, there aren't really many other teams on, particularly on Raw anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what they have to work with. And yeah. I mean, this show was bookended by two big segments that set up, your biggest match at SummerSlam. And there
Oh.
wasn't a heck of a lot in between, really.
Well, I did stumble into the one thing.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting because it was something that at least on Raw, they replayed the segment from SmackDown where Solo Sikoa was trying to recruit LA Knight.
Ooh.
Failed to do so because evidently, if you're Samoan, LA Knight is just not going to trust you. That sounds like some other word that starts with an R and ends with a T, but.
Oh, come on. Just about that family. Come on. But yeah, this has just, this is just, none of this is good. No one wants Solo this high up on the card. It's just the same thing every week between LA Knight and the Usos. It doesn't hold really
Yeah.
it doesn't really interest me at all. And if we get some weird tag match with the Usos against LA Knight and Solo at SummerSlam, that might be my bathroom break, or might fix myself some food, or pour myself a drink day. Yeah. Moment. Match.
I think that was the only real thing there that was worth talking about. 'Cause I mean, we kind of covered Maxine and Raquel,
Yeah, we did.
and I would imagine that Raquel's going to be eating a soul snatcher. So God bless.
Yeah.
You get to lose another championship match. So do you want to round things out with a little talk on at least general thoughts on AEW's Forbidden Door, since neither of us ordered it. So
This feel more nondescript than most AEW pay-per-views. Like, we do this. Okay. First of all, this whole, I guess like the second year in a row, we've headlined Forbidden Door with this big cage match just involving AEW people, all AEW people. This isn't even what the show is supposed to be about. Like, why are we still doing this Forbidden Door concept as a whole? I mean, it feels like AEW's relationship with New Japan is strained, and no one has really had an interest in New Japan. CMLL is the second most over is the number two promotion in Mexico, at least to people in the US. I'm sure Dave Meltzer can rattle off some attendance figures and whatever, but then sit and tell me that CMLL is actually bigger than AAA in Mexico, and maybe that's true. But in the US, no one cares about CMLL. Let's be, and then no one cares about Stardom, although we did go see that one show and it was fine in Vegas.
But yeah, there's a difference between going to see a show once
Yes.
and following Stardom.
Yeah, no. And again, New Japan. This is a byproduct of New Japan falling off so badly, and AEW signing so many of New Japan's biggest stars of the last, decade or so.
Oh.
Okada's obviously chief among them, Okada. Like, when they got Okada full time, this show lost all of it, lost so much of its luster to begin with. And yet here we are, we're still
Yeah,
doing these things.
the big draw of Forbidden Door was not a big draw anymore because he was in the company that was opening the door.
Yeah, all the doors have been open. Even WWE is opening doors lately. Like, somebody did throw up an editorial on the Observer sites that, about how this show has no meaning anymore, and they're right. So,
Well, and just even throughout the course of the year, if you don't even consider the WWE within the scope of things, I don't know how many times for the conglomeration, what's his name? Stone Pitbull.
Ishii, yeah.
Ishii would come over. I mean, those guys just pop in and out from time to time, and the CMLL
Yeah.
people pop in and out from time to
Yes.
time. Like,
And
if it's
Ish.
just in this like month or month and a half surrounding this Forbidden Door, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But when they're
But
popping in like
then,
once every 3 months,
Yeah.
it just makes it less
Yeah.
special.
Yeah. It's less special. But you know what? Forbidden Door was always a problem anyway, because you just halt your own storylines for weeks and bring in all these people that have never been on your show before, and maybe a lot of people don't know. For every Okada versus Danielson or Omega versus Osprey, when that was unique, you get segments with people, the lower people on the card, the people who just show up on Dynamite, and you don't know who they are, and the show has always had a lot of issues, but now headlining the show with a 12-man cage match just to have an excuse for yet another hardcore brawl, so that Mark Briscoe can get a championship match against MJF in a match that is going to open Dynamite this week. Your pay-per-view main event set up the opener of your TV show. You're setting up the
Well,
opener of your TV show.
does Wiki have this wrong? Did Osprey and Swerve go last?
Did it? Maybe it did. You know, may, maybe it did. Maybe, maybe, you know what, you know what, you know what? Thinking about it now, okay, because we didn't watch the damn thing. Okay, your semi-main event of your pay-per-view, the match that was
Still,
hyped the most. It was hyped the most. They decided to
definitely.
close. They decided to close with the one heart final. That was
Okay,
probably the right decision.
Yep.
But yeah, and then even then, you know, it's Ospreay felt like a foregone conclusion. And they've all and
Oh, for sure.
I do feel like that Darby Allin interlude between MJF runs hurt MJF. Because if MJF had one long dominant reign, his match with Ospreay at All In means more.
Yeah, that was one where there was something similar. Was it Cody's reign or was it Drew's reign that got broken up? And it's just like, well, if he had just had a longer reign going into this feud, everything makes more sense. Like, I mean, the
It
WWE
was
just did something
Orton.
about.
It was Cody, and then, you know,
Oh, yeah.
still ending up the belt back on him, and him and Orton is going at WrestleMania, like everyone thought, you know, 6 months earlier was going to be the match. It's something like
Oh,
that. Yeah, because people have been predicting Ospreay and MJF as the main of it All In for a while. I feel, and yeah,
yes.
the Darby Allin swerve, maybe, yeah. Got a one night pop, and then, you know, and then he's, you know, mid card, he's defending his title against mid carders week after week after week. And
Defended against a guy that couldn't beat. Well, I guess he was the IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion. Is
oh,
that
yeah.
different
Oh, is
than
it? Is he?
their IWGP Heavyweight Champion? Is the global part a
Yes.
different modifier?
But global is, I don't remember that they've unified something to call it the, I don't remember exactly. Again, I haven't followed New Japan in almost in since COVID, basically. That's how long it's been that they feel like they've been falling off.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, but
and also on the list of storylines that will not end up having any payoff, Tekla beating Starlight Kid, by all means, everyone seemed to like the match. I don't care that
she was
Tekla took
fine.
her mask off.
I don't care about that at all. There's nothing interesting about that. And it's
No.
to set up a Tekla Mercedes Moné match, even though they're both heels. I mean, they're probably were pushing that Maya World girl too much too soon for what she's been so far. But it didn't doesn't really feel like there's a great reason to put the title to put to other than she's just the biggest star to put Monet in this situation that I don't even know if I see her and Tekla having chemistry. I mean, in the ring it'll probably be fine, but I'm talking about the personality mix in the buildup. Because I am already not a fan of Tekla's promos.
And yeah, she's not. I always I was hesitating just because people always do their shtick no matter what. Because I was just thinking, oh, she can't really do the same shtick for Monet. But I'm like, no, some people just power right through it, and I feel like she's going to be someone that would power right through it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're gonna get her. We're gonna get her potty mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as offended, but I also don't think that she has great promos either,
It
so.
doesn't. No. It's. I mean. I don't. I'm not offended by vulgarity, but it's just it's too much
Yeah.
and just. Well, yeah. Whatever. It's.
She can stop spitting on stuff too.
I like to give All In a chance, you know. I've seen two out of last two out of three, at least,
Yeah, oh.
you know, and word it, but I don't know about this one, because Ospreay and MJF is also a retread of a feud from 2 years ago. when they were feuding over the secondary title.
Yep, and that in also belies one of AEW's problems. They chew through so many feuds that we were just talking about it a little bit earlier. Seth and Roman have basically been apart for 4 years in between feuds. This is going to be 2 years, it's half the time.
Yeah.
It definitely feels more condensed when I mean, it's wrestling. There's going to be repeat feuds. Like, there's just not a whole lot you can do about that part. It's part of the game. But keeping them separated for a longer amount of time really helps make it feel more fresh when you do go back to it.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a little bit fresh about this one with the whole Death Riders part of it. But I don't,
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of payoff in that either, though, really.
No, because again, MJF has already lost the title. And again,
Yeah.
because they're where they're at, it feels like yes,
That's probably gonna
Ospreay
happen.
is guaranteed to win, and but it doesn't feel as it doesn't feel as earned as Hangman's win last year. For
Oh.
sure.
Yeah, the redemption story isn't quite there for Ospreay. Like, I've kind of liked some of the individual segments with him and Moxley.
I've
But
there's some parts of that like yeah, some parts of that I've liked, yeah.
it still doesn't have the redemption part that Hangman had last year.
Right.
And just a kind of a general consistency of point of view that I feel like they had with Hangman.
Honestly, the match that I guess is possible for All In that they could do that would hook me is if they can get the now former New Day in by August, which I believe they can, and put that Young Bucks match on the show, which I think they say exactly what they should do. If they're available and they and they're open to coming, just run the Young Bucks match. Don't muddy the waters with three ways, four ways, anything else, tag titles. No, just put them against each other. The match you never thought you would see. Yeah.
Fair
Finally.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okie doke. Time to
Yeah.
punch out of here, sir, then.
Absolutely.
Bell Time beer of the show, Washington Brewing Company, Second Eye Blind, IPA, 6% alcohol. This brewery is out of Washington, Pennsylvania. It, I believe, is currently temporarily closed.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I don't know if that means worse things or not. Do not follow well enough. But they had some pretty solid beers and pretty tasty food. So if you happen to be in Washington, Pennsylvania, go ahead and stop in there should they be open. So support your local businesses, kids. That is the Bell Time beer from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Saint Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.